morning, everyone. It's time again for the Church of God radio broadcast. It's coming to you from God's Acres at 675 North Cedar Street here in Newark, Ohio. We certainly want to tell you that we appreciate you taking the time today to be with us. And now we'd like to ask Brother Larry Dishman to come and bring us another message from God's eternal word.
And we ask you to take your Bibles, turn over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 57, verse number 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. My message deals with the subject, the bright and the dark side of eternity. And everything is pointing to the closing of time, when time and eternity meet. The old Teasley said, I stood at the time-beaten portals where many a pilgrim had passed, out into the infinite future to be with the pure and the blessed. And in musing and silent devotion, eternity seemed to draw near. Strains from the choir of the faithful I seemed in my fancy to hear. I lingered and I silently listened to the dull, heavy tread of the years, and I thought of the fate of the guilty when Christ in his glory appears. A shudder came over my spirit as I thought what a moment might cost. For eternity's stillness was broken by the groans and the sighs of the lost. I saw then the judge in his splendor as he stepped to his great judgment seat. And I thought of the crashing of ages when time and eternity meet. For time, who has laid many millions to slumber at death's silent shade, shall reel at eternity's presence and sleep in the tomb he has made. Let us work while 'tis day, brother and sister, for soon shall the master return to garner the wheat that we harvest, the chaff in his fury to burn. Then in haste let us run to the rescue, but few can we save at the most. Soon millions will be at the judgment, forever eternally lost. Oh, eternity, long eternity. Hear the solemn footsteps of eternity. Oh, eternity without God. What a terrible thing that would be. Yet there are millions of souls that's approaching the dark side of eternity. Everything is pointing to the closing of time, when time and eternity meet. Listen, friends, in eternity, we're not going to have any time to make preparations to meet God. Now's the time to make preparations to meet God. We think about eternity. It's the most striking word in the English language. 1,000 years from right now, all of us is going to be alive. We're going to be conscious. 10,000 years from now, all of us here, we're going to be alive. You're on the bright side or the dark side of eternity. I don't know about you, but that's a serious thought. Amen. I'm going to be somewhere 10 million years from now. How can a man speak a word that takes in ages of time and all beyond it? Eternity. Oh, where are you going to be in eternity? What a solemn thought. What a solemn question. The word becomes greater as we add the verse in Psalms 106:48. When the psalmist caught a glimpse of the nature of eternity, he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say amen. Praise ye the Lord. From vanishing point to vanishing point, there is an eternity. The vastness of this subject overwhelms our finite minds. We cannot comprehend it. Think of this fact. We only live on a little island, which we call time, which is bounded by two vast seas of eternity. Let your mind go back into the unending recesses of time. Then let your mind move into the future as far as you can imagine. And when your mind can go no farther, there's still eternity. Oh, the high and the lofty one, the Bible says, that inhabiteth eternity. Who inhabits eternity? Friend, it's God. He's infinite. He's eternal. He's unchangeable. Eternity is the place of God's abode. Answer me this question. Are you going to be on the bright side of eternity or the dark side of eternity? Eternity begins when life ends. Right now, we're standing on the edge of a precipice of time. Eternity is a very long time. In the cemetery in Indiana, there's a tombstone that has an inscription with the intent to make people prepare for death. It says, "Consider, friend, as you pass by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, you shall soon be. So prepare, my friend, to follow me." Someone scratched another verse on the tombstone that says, "To follow you is not my intent until I find out which way you win." The bright side of eternity is heaven. Heaven is the blessed abode of the saved. The dark side of eternity is there's a place called hell. To take away the doctrine of hell, then I must do away with the infallibility of the Bible. We must take away the deity of Christ. We must take away the blood atonement of Christ and our eternal hope of heaven. Those that try to do away with the horrors of hell also must do away with the hope of eternal heaven. And there's no reason to preach any other doctrine in the Bible if the doctrine about hell is not true. The bright side of eternity is we're going to see Jesus. Oh, thank God for Jesus. The greatest thrill that awaits us when we get there, and that's to see Jesus, the one that died for you and me, and live in his presence through all eternity. We'll sing forever with a trouble of or care. That's what heaven means to me, and I hope to meet you there. The dark side of eternity is in hell. You'll be forsaken by God throughout eternity. To be in a place where God has never been and God will never be. You'll become a forgotten people in a forgotten place. Everybody in hell will be forever abandoned by God, henceforth separated from God's love, and every opportunity for redemption is gone down in hell. The bright side of eternity is one state is unchangeable when we get to heaven. We're never going to leave. You can't backslide. When we get there, we'll be there forever. Amen. Throughout the ceaseless age of eternity. That's good news for the Christian, isn't it? Amen. The dark side of eternity is also the sinner's estate is unchangeable after death. That's bad news. Bible says in Revelation 22:11, "And he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that's filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that's righteous, let him be righteous still. He that's holy, let him be holy still." The bright side of eternity, I believe that there's a treasures awaiting the saints of God. The only way to send treasures into heaven is to invest in things that's going there, like the souls of men. He said in Matthew 5, verse number 12, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." God's someday going to reward his people for their faithfulness, their service, their suffering, their soul winning, their loving the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. The dark side of eternity is the only reward awaiting the sinner is death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, it is eternal life. The bright side of eternity is there's no more death. Amen. We'll be alive and happy throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. And the sting of death will never be felt again. Amen. Be no more funerals to attend. The dark side of eternity, yes, is the wages of sin is death. And I saw the great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there's found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, the bright side and the dark side of eternity. The bright side of eternity is heaven is a place of light. Heaven is a place where all night will have vanished away. But the dark side of eternity is hell's a place of darkness. There's a dark side to eternity. Oh, it's dark. No wonder the Bible says in 2 Peter 2, verse number 4, for if God spared not the angels in sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them to the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Hell's a place of darkness. It's a place of death. It's a place of despair. It's a place of demons. The bright side of eternity is everything's going to be good. Everything's going to be enjoyable. Nothing disappointing in heaven. Think about that, friend. The dark side of eternity, there's not one thing good. There's not one thing good about a lost eternity. The bright side of eternity is everything is going to be gained. Amen. The Bible says in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I want none. For I'm in the strait betwixt two, having a desire to part and be with Christ, which is far better. Let me tell you something. Heaven's far better than anything that you got down here. Somebody said, I got the best car. I'm living in a fine mansion. I got millions of dollars. Oh, heaven's going to be better than that. Amen. Amen. The dark side of eternity is everything is loss. You know what the bright side of eternity is? Heaven lasts forever. Amen. When we've been there 10,000 years. That's a long time. But I said, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Praise God, it's going to last forever. I can't comprehend that. Heaven's going to last forever. And heaven's sounding sweeter all the time. Seem like lately it's always on my mind. Someday I'm going to lay this old body down. Praise God. Heaven's sounding pretty sweet. Oh, the dark side of eternity is, it's just like heaven that lasts forever and ever and ever and on. There's no end. Matthew 25:46, and these shall go away. Where? Into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Let us distinctly understand that every blow struck against eternal punishment is an equally heavy blow against the eternity of the bliss. It's impossible to separate these two. No ingenious theologian definition can divide the eternity of heaven and the eternity of hell. They last the same amount of time. They stand or they fall together. We got modern preachers that says it doesn't last forever. If hell does not last forever, then heaven does not last forever, because it's spoken of in the same chapter, in the same verse. The same language is used. The same figure of speech are employed when the Bible speaks about either condition, heaven or hell, it lasts forever. It is true that if we take away the fear of hell from sinners, then we've also taken away our hope of heaven. There's nothing that Satan desires more than we should believe that hell does not exist and that there's no such place as hell, no such things as eternal torment. The nature of eternity is permanent and unending. Notice, I try my best never to say, where will you spend eternity? Because you can't spend it. You might be a millionaire and spend all your money. You might have a month's vacation coming and spend it in Florida. But you cannot spend eternity. There'll never be a time when our souls are not alive. Whether you're saved or lost, your soul is going to live on. That soul that's within us is indestructible. The body may be destroyed, but 1 million years from right now, our souls will be alive. Even if the stars burn out and turn to smoldering ashes, after the mountains have crumbled to dust, and even if the sun and the moon fall from their sprockets, you and I will still be alive in eternity. There's no end to eternity. All who enter the afterlife without forgiveness and the mercy of Jesus Christ will be without forgiveness throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. The bright side of eternity is no more pain. But no more headaches, no more toothaches, no more arthritis, no more diabetes, no more high blood pressure, no more low blood pressure, no high cholesterol, no high triglycerides, no heart attacks, no strokes, no cancer, no AIDS, no blindness, no eyeglasses, no deafness, no hearing aids, no cripples, no lameness, no wheelchairs, no crutches, no walking sticks, no more pain. The list goes on and on. Suffering will be ended. The dark side of eternity is its great suffering and pain. I don't want you to go there. Oh, the suffering. Oh, the misery. Oh, the pain. And nothing will be there to console the lost soul. All hope is gone forever. The silence of eternity, he said, is broken by the groans and the sighs of the lost. Oh, eternity there to be tormented forever. Luke 16:24. And he cried, he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. I'm thirsty. He had his opportunity, but he passed it by. The bright side of eternity, heaven will surely be worth it all. Saints, don't give up. Amen. Often I'm hindered on my way. Burdens so heavy, I almost fall. Then I hear Jesus sweetly say, heaven will surely be worth it all. Many of the trials and toils and tears, many heartaches, may hear a pall. But the dear Lord so truly says, heaven will surely be worth it all. Toiling in pain I will endure till I shall hear the death angel call. Jesus has promised, and I'm sure heaven will surely be worth it all. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Worth all the sorrows to hear befall. After this life, with all its strife, heaven will surely be worth it all. But oh, the dark side of eternity. No pleasure in this life would be worth being lost eternally. Not one person in the dark side of eternity will wake up in hell and say, well, you know, all those pleasures I found in life is worth all this pain and torment I'm enduring. No matter what you're going through, no matter how much fun you're having, it's not worth the price that it's going to cost you. The dark side of eternity is there's a whole bunch of folks going there that didn't know they was going there. They didn't have genuine salvation. They had a counterfeit. Somebody said, how do you know that? Because the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And no doubt in an audience this size, there's people that thinks they're all right when they're all wrong. There's a way that seems right. Jesus talked about it. He's talking about professing Christians. Right. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And then he goes on and says, listen to me, friend. Not a few, but he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name we've cast out devils. In thy name we've done many wonderful works. But I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Do you have real salvation? Do you have a real experience with Jesus Christ? For every good thing that God gives us, Satan attempts to create a counterfeit. God has given us good music, and Satan's created an industry that ruins the blessings of music. God has given us his word, and Satan tries to produce counterfeits with all the modern translations that take the blood out and take the scriptures out that talk about hell and damnation. When you think about a counterfeit, what do you think about? You think about money. You know how you can tell? You can tell by the look of it. You can tell by the feel of it. Now, I can't tell, but somebody that works at the bank, they handle the money all the time. They've learned how to tell by the way it feels, by the way it looks. Do you have a real experience with Jesus Christ? This is too serious to guess about it and think about it. You got to know for sure that you got the right thing. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves, and know your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. I can tell you this, if there's not been a change in your life, you're not saved yet. That's one of the ways you can know that you've really been saved and you got genuine salvation is because you have changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Amen. Somebody said, well, I got baptized. Well, you can go down a dry center and come up a wet center. Somebody said, I joined the church. Joining the church doesn't save you. Somebody said, well, I read my Bible. Reading the Bible doesn't save you. Somebody said, I pray every day. Saying your prayers every day does not save you. Somebody said, well, I lead music. Leading music doesn't save you. Somebody said, I'm a preacher. Preaching doesn't save you. Somebody said, I walk the aisle. Walking the aisle in a church don't save you any more than walking the aisle in the grocery store. I went to Walmart the other day and there's a bunch of people walking the aisles, but they didn't look like they saved to me. It takes more than walking the aisle. Well, I come to the front of the church. There's no magic up here at the front of the church. Someone said, I raised my hand. Raising your hand don't save you. You raised your hand at the ball game too, and that didn't save you either. How is it on the inside? God sees us as we really are. You know what he said in Revelation 2:9? He said, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not. They say they're spiritual Jews, but they're not. See, God's looking over this audience, and he sees beyond my profession. He sees beyond your profession. You know what God's saying? Wheat, wheat, tear, tear, wheat, tear. God can tell the wheat from the tares. Sheep, goat, goat, sheep, goat, sheep. God knows what we are. We might have the folks around us fooled, but we don't have God fooled. Answer me this question. Are you going to be on the bright side of eternity or the dark side of eternity? How is it in your heart and life? Amen.
Thank you again, Brother Dishman, for those sobering thoughts. If you would like to receive a copy of today's radio broadcast, please give us a call at 740-345-1213. We want to remind you of our periodical called The Gospel Trumpeter. If you would like to have an issue of that sent to your home each month at no cost, please give us a call at that same number, 345-1213. Or for any previous issues that you would like to have, please browse our website at godsacres.org. We invite you out to our services today. For transportation, you can call that same number, 740-345-1213. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school is at 9:30. Morning worship is at 10:45. Each evening at 5 o'clock, our youth services begin. Then at 6 o'clock is our evening worship service. This is Fred Barrows saying thank you for joining us here today. Hopefully this program has been a help and a blessing to each of you. Brother Decker would like to invite each of you to join us here again next week at this same time. So until then, may God bless you, is our prayer.